You may be seated. Young ones, if y'all want to go to class with Sister Esther and the rest of the group, y'all behaving there tonight. If you want to stay with your mom and daddy, ask them now. Mom and daddy, if you don't want them in here, tell them get it gone. Thank you for coming tonight. My class, can y'all like center so I don't have to turn much? This is for y'all. They just get to hear, amen. I teach college and career tonight, and we do combination classes in youth. And we got together in pastor's absence. Brother David said, I'd like to get together. And I said, well, I turned it up enough because the adults were going to be in here tonight. He said, well, turn it up a notch again because the youth are going to be in here tonight. So, amen. Let's welcome everybody in class tonight. If you want to be a part of the class and you feel outcast, come on up a little closer. Might feel a little younger if you're in an adult class. Amen. Come on up. We'll hold nothing against you. Nobody's going to talk about you behind your back. Matthew 6 and 19, if you have your Bibles, if you have your tablets, you have your brain on high. I got to rejoice since I seen you guys last several times. I wanted to let you see something. This is my first Bible. After I got the Holy Ghost, it was destroyed. And Sister Esther found somebody there. We'll put it back together again. And I got to open it the other day, and it's like, wow, large print. My favorite. Last time I got to teach, I was reading normal print, and I could read large print from here now, just like I used to, amen? When I saw it, I began to rejoice. It was a beautiful job. Those of you that, I don't know where she got it done, but they even took the time and take pages together that I tore and shoved back in the book. I had it in a binder. It was a horrible condition, and I just love it now. I was rejoicing forevermore, amen? I was given this Bible by an elder on the day I got the Holy Ghost. He told me, don't watch no more TV. Don't listen to them CDs and them tapes no more. You read this. And slammed it in my chest. He was in the Navy for a long time. When I used to cry like a woman, he'd come and thump me right in the forehead. Pap, stop crying like a woman. I said, what do you mean I'm crying like a woman? You're so loud. This is the men's prayer group. Found out later it was okay to cry out like a woman. And then I learned how to roar like a man after I started to cry out like a woman. So now I pray loud like a man. Said all that to say this. Welcome to class, and here I go. I'm not going to be long-winded. I'm not going to, as a matter of fact, if it seems short, it's on purpose. Amen? 6:19. Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rusts do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. How many of y'all been violated? Anybody stole something from you lately? Ooh, poor thief, huh? For where your treasure is, there you will find your heart also, young people. When I first heard this, I was 25. I memorized it, being a young church boy, but not apostolic, but I knew the scripture. But when I heard it for real with the Holy Ghost, I was 25. And I thought, well, that's old people's scripture. And I was 25 then. I thought, well, that doesn't pertain to me. I'm still young. I don't really have a heart for much. Forgetting that when I was a young man, how big my heart was. How many of y'all remember before your heart was broke? Brother Billy? Amen. How many of you can remember before your heart was broke? Any men, any women want to say that? Are y'all scared? I teach different just in case I'm not pastor. So I write it for a little communication back. If it gets out of control, I'll stop asking questions. But how many times your heart was broke for the first time? I can remember. And that's where my treasure was. And I didn't even know. You didn't have to have the Holy Ghost to have your heart broke. Because when you serve God, your heart gets broke a lot. How many of y'all had your heart broke since you got the Holy Ghost? Let's shift gears now. Oh, no more hands are coming up now. It's like after the Holy Ghost, it was like my heart was never supposed to be broke. What is the deal here? Scriptures don't say that. Yeah, they do. You might have broke it yourself. Amen? It didn't take a thief to come in and steal it. You did it to yourself. And the light of the body is the eye. How many old school in here didn't watch TV? That one-eyed devil? Yeah, tent meeting preaching. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If you could single out these eyes, you'll be full of light. Light is the symbol of Jesus, Holy Ghost. If you could single out and put blinders on like horses did. Sorry, I just got used to the other mic. Like this. You'd focus on Jesus all the time. Wouldn't that be awesome? It seems very difficult now because I left my phone on purpose, but it's an object about that big. Well, some of us got them about this big that afford the little phones. But I buy right there, and our eye is not single anymore, is it? Amen. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. I stepped it up a little bit. How many of y'all like two masters? Isn't your wife enough? Isn't your husband enough? Two masters. What are two masters? Are not bad. The two masters are money or God. Sometimes you could live your whole life and never see either one of them. Never see the money you wanted to make. Some of us are in the congregation, I'm much older. Anybody still alive made all the money you wanted to make? Raise your hand. I like to shake it. And you lay hands on me and pray for me. Take the pressure off to say, it's okay, Brother Keith, it is possible. This is nobody, I haven't met nobody yet. Amen? All the money. How many of you have gotten all the Holy Ghost, all the Jesus you could stand yet? Me either. And I've tried. I fasted, prayed, cried all night long. I couldn't get enough of either one of them. But you can't serve both. You're not going to get but a little bit of either one if you try. Amen? Stay with me. I'm meddling because I'm watching time. If everything that we did became a priority, soon we would have no priorities, right? If everything you did became a priority, I don't know what your priority was today. Maybe it was breakfast. Maybe it was pray before you got dressed. Maybe it was what you was going to wear when you got dressed. Maybe it was when you dashed out to get in your car or you catch the school bus. Maybe it was when your child got out the house to go to school. I'll turn on the news now. I don't know what your priority was before 12, because at 12 is like what I'm going to eat. When am I going to get a chance to take a break to go eat? How long will I take my break? All those priorities. Then this afternoon break, then skidding in the sideways and home, what I'm going to cook. That's just minor priorities in a day, in the life of anybody. Amen? How much money did you make today in the stock market? Probably only but a few of us checked it. I got no money in the stock market. I didn't check. I was checking in my pocket. And I was under $10. So I quit checking. Made me feel bad. But it was a priority today because I was trying to figure out how much money I was going to make to pay my bills and go up to the next picture and how much I was going to put for 401k finances and how much maybe y'all got for your allowances. How many of y'all get allowances? Yeah, I didn't think that was a thing of the past. That's what I thought. Nobody in my class wants to raise their hand. Men, how many of y'all got y'all allowance? Thank you. Mine gave me some too. Amen. Sister Elsa does give out stingy sometimes, but so I get some. I can eat. When you come to church and you prioritize things, how many of y'all have been in the, and I would say pastors, I love our church. A pastor teaches a lot of things that we are to prioritize for our treasures, okay? He teaches lots of prayer. This is a praying church. We have prayer. Some churches, I know people that go to churches that don't have a prayer time. Like they don't pray even before church service, just like the ministers do. It's not open for the kind of life. So when do y'all pray? Y'all know any people do that? Most apostolic churches, at least fundamental Pentecostal people, have somewhat of a prayer night. We do here. And the attendance is probably half of this. Could be 30, 40 people, Brother Crowns, typical. Some churches aren't 30, 40 people. We get 30, 40 people here on Tuesday because pastor teaches us that's a priority. How many of y'all feel bad when you miss church on Tuesday night? My priority, Jesus. Amen? And how many of you get caught up in, well, then when's the last time anybody kept your hand down fasted because you were led to or you were trained to? Not because pastor said, and we're going to. But the David had us fast because he said so. Right? Those of you that were in the class last time we had youth. I don't know when the last time one of you adults fasted. When the last time I fasted is because I had to do blood work. I'm at that age. I'm honest. We're going to go there tonight. I like to eat, and I like to eat at weird hours. Today I got so upset at work, I ate fried onion rings. Amen. It was vegetable. How many of you think bad about your priority of church attendance? You miss events at church, it bothers you. Oh, God, I'm not going to be able to make the event. It's a special event. I'm not going to be able to make it. Church itself, church service, oh, Lord. I'm, you know, we wear ourselves out with priorities. And if we have so many priorities being Christian people, guess what? Soon there'll be none. You'll make everything so important, you forget the love of God. And what this is really about, you get so prioritized, you forget to win souls. You forget that child that's lost that lives in your house. You forget, I met many people, where's your sons and daughter? I've been in the youth and college group for a long time. Oh, they didn't want to come to church. And I'm like, they didn't want to come to church. It's one of the priorities. How'd that get missed? It's because mom and dad had so many priorities, there were no priorities. Y'all with me? Shake your head. You don't have to amen me. Just shake your head. Chapter 6, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Go with me to my next favorite book. That's book of Matthew is my most favorite. My second one is James, chapter 5. This is always my go-to. Excuse me because I got my old Bible now. I don't press a button and ba-ding, and it's there. I have to flip the pages. That feels so good to my fingertips. James chapter 5. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is anybody in here not right today? Not sick. You're afflicted. You got your priorities off. You're not doing right. You're doing so bad, other people know. That's real bad. Because we do enough bad that nobody knows, amen? We can bust hell wide open on our own. We don't even need other people to know how bad we are. But you're doing so bad today, you're afflicted. Other people know. You pray for yourself. Those of you that are coming up, you pray for yourself. It is awesome to line up. How many of y'all remember we did the prayer line probably within the last 8 weeks? Some of you, I laughed. Only some of the people in the congregation knew what was going on. Most people had not been in prayer line in this church. Pastor pulled that one way out the back. And it turned out to be an awesome service. Amen? But in order to have your priorities right, you have to pray for yourself. Now, before I leave, I'll be more than willing to pray for you. But when you're afflicted, I can't pray for you. Like I can when you're sick. That's being one of the elders of the church. I can't. I mean, we do, but it ain't the same thing. When you're broken, you got to fix yourself. No, Brother Keith, if you have not prayed all night long for yourself, you have not prayed yet. You have not prayed yet. You're just warming up. If you have not stayed up all night long praying for your loved ones, you have not prayed yet. You ought to try it before the day comes that someone in your household will need you to stay up all night long and pray. What does that feel like? Well, it's probably not as fun as watching Netflix all night long or playing games all night long or watching TV all night long. I'll step it up to the older people. I know. Or watching the news. I was just watching the news. But those things that James talks about makes us, and Moses, you're going to have to pray for yourself. When you pray for yourself, your priorities stay aligned. And you keep them. Not everything in your life is so important. If someone is sick in here tonight, wait a minute, I jumped. If you're happy, this is a good one. If you're merry, keep singing songs. How many people are happy? Everybody looks tired, but how many people are happy? Okay, that's half of us. If the musicians came back up, we'd probably rock it out like we did Sunday. Knock the walls out. How many of y'all like the older songs we sang Sunday? Amen. That made me feel real comfortable. I knew all the words with my eyes closed. I struggle with that sometimes. But it's like, oh, that's not the word I thought it was. But we sang songs I knew. It didn't take nothing for me to kick in. And I came in happy. If you're happy, keep singing. That could be a priority because life is not always going to be happy. When you pop up in the morning and you don't have no happy, you got to dig deep to get a song. All right. And your song's probably going to be flat anyway to crank it up. It will not be Jesus on the main line right out the gate on a sad day. For us older people, and it will not be Joy FM for you younger people. I want to drop the mic, but it's the penalty. If anybody is sick among you, let him get somebody else to pray for him. How sick you got to be? Sick enough to go, wow, I need somebody to pray for me. Why would you stay in service with a headache? You don't have to be a terminal illness to come up to get prayer. When I was younger and lived in Georgia, my babies were a little bit younger, and I couldn't pray the prayer of faith for my own. Kind of like Jesus. They received me not. But their uncle got the phone call. Uncle Alex, pray for us. I don't feel good. I'm like, Esther, what's with that? I'm the daddy. She said, you can't pray for everything. That's what it's like. You guys that have been raised in church, Brother Gifford, you got a handful of them in here. Sometimes Brother Gifford can't get it. He's just my dad. Amen. Anybody else come from a big family? Daddy thinks I'm faking anyway. Last time I asked him to pray for me, he whipped at me. It happens in my house too. But that's why, you know, for the most part, you can come to the elders. You come to the ministry. And the prayer that we pray shall heal you. In God's time and not in our time, I've seen miracles. Bam. And so have you. And I've seen healings. And I believe the first wave of prayer in here tonight, they're going to see some healings. Some people are going to be better. Amen? Amen. Last but not least, we're going to confess our faults one to another. Now, this is, I'm not going to take long on this one. This does not mean you go tell everybody your business. Short version, that's Keith James version. You don't go around and tell everybody your business. If you have somebody you're accountable to, with, and or for that knows you, like I said, they know you're wrong. How many of you know what I mean? Show me your hands so I don't linger on that too much. Okay, I only got a third. If somebody you know well knows you're wrong, and you know they know you're wrong, confess your faults one to another. Because those people, especially if they're your family members, and secondly, if they're church, and combo, if they're church and family, you don't need to be doing that. They can help you. Because if anybody loves you more than your family, you just went from here to here, and it's about only Jesus. Because when you're going to be wrong, you're not even likable by most church people and church standards. Amen? Anybody ever done something bad in church lately? And all the church people did to you? You had to shake it off, and in time it heals up, but your family was still there. Baby, I'm so glad to see you in church. You come with mom and daddy again today. You really need to be in church. That's your mom and daddy. If your mom and daddy aren't like that, then you don't have those kind of resources and backgrounds and checkpoints in your life, young and old. You have family here in the house of God. And those people are the people you could be accountable to. My brother, my sister, when I was in the other church, she was blessed me, Father, for I have sinned. Maybe y'all have said that. A few of y'all know that prayer. You know, you don't have to tell everybody your business, but if you're not right, it doesn't take a whole lot. It hardly even takes much discernment to know when somebody's not right. Often the gift of suspicion works for that. They don't look happy like last week. Amen. That makes 3 weeks in a row. Woo. I'm going to close now. We got 12 minutes, I think. I'm going to ask y'all to stand. Sister Alexis is around. Hey, Sister Alexis. If your priorities are not so tonight, you know them. I don't. If your priorities are not so tonight, can you check yourself? We opened up. We had a great, if you were here Sunday, it was awesome. Pastor told us to take notes about what he was about to do, and he told us he didn't have any meat on the bone. He had pictures and scriptures. Do you remember when he said that at closing? And I said, my note I took away from him, it's like, if I want God to move, I ain't going to preach nothing. They're going to stand up here and wait for y'all to touch God. I'm just teasing. It was still a great move of God, and it was well needed. Tonight, we opened up with a wonderful spirit of prayer. Word of God, there's some meat on the bone. Got a laugh or two out of you that's humorous. That's good. It's good when preaching. I'm not, I don't preach like that. I don't minister like that. But I don't want you to leave here hurt. I don't want you to leave here afflicted. I don't want to leave, even think you walking out the door with somebody that thinks of you bad. I don't want you to leave here with a fever. I don't want you to leave here think nobody loves you, cares for you like we do. Because you come to church on your own, you don't have no family here. I'm from Louisiana. I have my immediate family here. I got to run a long ways to get my mama a hug. About 700 plus miles to get my mama to hug me. And I have ladies in here that treat me just like a mom. And it's something to learn for all age groups, young people I'm talking to y'all, because sometimes when the Holy Ghost is moving on you, you don't want your mommy and daddy touching you. I don't know why it is like that. I guess it's when we grow up, our emotions don't care for it much. There's many times I wish my mama was there to hug me. When I go to Louisiana, that's how I get to pray with her. But I don't live in Louisiana anymore. I live in Lakeland. Now I have to hug other people that are brokenhearted and share my mama's love through me. Amen? There's a whole lot to say about emotions. And emotions and the Holy Ghost run together, just in case you didn't realize that. So if you've been in Pentecostal churches at any length of time, then we are very emotional. Amen. But I would ask you, if you would, think about what I said. Close in prayer. If you're sick and you missed out on this praying before church service when Brother David offered the opportunity to be prayed for with oil. And yo, I want to redo. If you messed up, nobody's going to judge you. That's probably not already got this gift of suspicion anyway. Come up, let us pray for you so you check yourself, be on point when you leave this house of God tonight. You go back home a new man, a new woman, a new young man, a new young woman. I'd like for you to come back and say, Brother Keith, we prayed Wednesday night, and my co-worker said, something's different. Wouldn't it be cool? Anybody had that lately? Something's about you. They can see it. They don't know what it is. Be right. If you're happy, stay happy, because we're counting on you. Only a few of us did that happy thing. Wasn't a whole lot of happy in here. And I know it's because on the other side of it, we're tired. But if you're happy, let's sing as we get out of here. And if you have a little something you want to whisper to the person next to you before you come up in here and pray, say, hey, I need your help when we get home. I'm not so right. And don't be surprised if they say, I know. I've been knowing. If you would, come to the front on your own. We're about to get out of here in just about a minute. And we'll take our time. If you want to leave now, well, you're welcome to leave. If you're out to leave, I understand. Hopefully you remember prioritizing your life. Prioritizing your life. Prioritizing your life. If everything's so important, you ain't going to have nothing that's a priority anymore. You should be caught up in a web.